The Watt from Pedro Show, December 8, 2001.
Thank you. Fever, what you doing?
Spending
All right. Watt from Pedro Show. Little Rodney Bingenheimerism there. All those, all right. Anyway, December 8, 2001 edition. Watt from Pedro Show, Wild Kingdom Radio, live from the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point in Pedro. Beautiful San Pedro, Cali. Here with Brother Matt. He'll be up a little later with the spin cycle. TJ Talia, although we got to give her a ring ding ding a ling, huh?
Yeah, a little wicked call.
Down the block. And Brother Twan is here too. He's manning the camera. My good bud, Eric Dayton over at Siteworks, hosting the show now. I don't know if you've heard, but Live 365 has taken the dumper. And thank you very much, AOL, Warner, whatever, Mega Superstore, Eastern Block. All production belongs to the shit hoarders. Their boss, Levin, just stepped down. It was in the newspaper the other day. But will things change? No. And who's their competition? The other empire, micro slut, or whatever. So we have to find humor in this stuff because it is very funny. 50 years of Cold War to produce anti-free enterprise, one big phone company, one big whatever, polyglot culture. So you understand maybe why it's such a beige, one-dimensional kind of what do you call it? State of mind, state of opinion with folks, because I don't know, you got to have fertile culture, I think, to get mind sprout. And yeah, the dummy down. Thank you, Brother Matt. We start off, of course, with Mr. John Coltrane and Song of the Underground Railroad from the African Brass thing he did. And uh-oh, that was a micro crap chime there. Brother Matt, he has both machines. This show is going direct to a Mac hard disk, though. And we did the big update.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend an hour before here. Got up to 922 and firmware, software.
All for better Wi-Fi.
All to aid. Yeah, much respect. Just sprucing up the hardware. After that, we had some P-Funk, well, Funkadelic. Stand on the verge of getting it on. And now some Nels Klein. We'll be right back. From Pedro Show. That was Pop Group, Forces of Oppression. Intense band from the 70s. Before that was The Eyes, another 70s band, but Hollywood, not Bristol, England. Like the Pop Group. The Eyes blow up Disneyland. I'm doing a gig tomorrow with George Hurley at the El Rey Theater. It's called Class 77. A lot of cats from the old days are going to be playing. I don't know if the Eyes are, but me and Georgie are going to do about 8-minute men songs and as a duet. And funny story about the Eyes. Now, you got to understand about what, you know, I came from arena rock as a teenager and went up to see the punk gigs. And it blew my mind. There was a gig with the Eyes playing, and it was at the other Mask, the one on Santa Monica, and they're playing. This guy, Joe Ramirez, was their singer, and he's playing his guitar, and they're doing a tune, and some cat comes up. I mean, this is how loose the gigs were. Some cat comes into the pad, obviously with a bucket of mud, and he comes up to the front of the stage and just tosses this whole bucket of mud. I mean, it was wet mud, like diarrhea style, you know, all over Joe Ramirez's face, over his guitar, you know. And of course, Joe Ramirez does not stop playing. He's got mud in the face, on the strings. It's intense, you know. And then, like, nobody's, you know, doing anything or anything. It's just like, okay. So it blew my little mind. Before that, we had George Hurley with the Farmers. Well, it's not his band, but he plays drums for him. He told me he went in the studio a couple days ago with him. And that's something from the Trescadeca Phobia San Pedro compilation on Sad Cassettes. Something Craig Ibarra put out of all Pedro bands. I played it all last week. A lot from Pedro Show, December 1st version. Except I ran out of time. I didn't have one more band, and this was the band, Farmers, with Bored, which is what I feel about Disneyland. And we started off with Nels Klein Trio, off his Chess CD, with Mintal. Mike Preusner drum kind of thing there, huh? Okay, here's the old guitar player. We're going to do a urinal song tomorrow night, me and George. We're going to do a song Min Min did, Ack, 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 Ack. And here's the former guitar player for urinals, Kjell Johansson. Just that reason, please, I couldn't try it.
Poet's eye, obscenely seeing, sees the surface of the round world. With its drunk rooftops and wooden wazos on clotheslines, and its clay males and females with hot legs and rosebud breasts in rollaway beds. And its trees full of mysteries, and its Sunday parks and speechless statues. And its America, with its ghost towns and empty Ellis Islands, and its surrealist landscape of mindless prairies, supermarkets, suburbs, steam-heated cemeteries, Cinerama holy days, and protesting cathedrals. A kiss-proof world of plastic toilet seats, Tampax and taxis, drugged store cowboys and Las Vegas virgins, disowned Indians and cinnamon matrons, un-Roman senators and conscientious non-objectors. And all the other fatal, shorn-up fragments of the immigrant's dream come too true and mislaid among the sunbathers.
Alright, Watt from Pedro Show. Lawrence Farrell and Getty right there with his autobiography piece. Before that, we had Richard Hell doing a cover of Bobby Dylan's Going, Going, Gone. In front of that was Rocky Erickson and the singing Grandfather, and we started off, you know, besides the show tomorrow, there's another show in L.A., but I will not be going there. It's the K-Rock, whatever. So, and Kel Johansson played Perfect for the Underground, which should be their theme song. I mean, if they got a video ready in time for it, I mean, you know, we wouldn't want to screw up the program. Okay, tonight I'm going to play, it's Backbiter 10-year anniversary, Bob Lee's band with Jonathan Hall and Keith. And I'm going to do four songs with them. Here's Bob Lee's band with John Wall. It's called Clawhammer, and another appropriate song, Ass Kissers Union. Oh. gotta remember, all my feelings don't know for sure. It's right or reach out. But it's on. Hey, I'm walking the tag. Pedro Show, December 8, 2001, getting up at the end of the first hour. Coming up next hour, Brother Matt Spin Cycle. You just heard some live Black Gang. That's live in Salzburg, Austria. Joe Biza, Bob Lee, myself, doing Daniel Johnson's Walking the Cow. Song I've done with several folks. Again, I'm going to play with Bob Lee tonight. And something, Joe Biza turns 50 in January, and we're going to do a gig for him then. Before that was Banyan, myself, Steve Perkins, now it's Klein, Money Mark, first album, Cooking for Now. Before that was a live track from Walt Mink, Candace, Joey, John, toured with him a few times, Miss Happiness, and we started off with the Ass Kissers Union by Clawhammer, Bob Lee's band with John Wall. I gotta apologize for screwing that song up. I hit the wrong button, had to restart, went to the next track, went to the next track again, then we did it right. I'm sorry, you know, last week too, I listened back to the show, testing out the site work stream, and I left a fader up for a few songs there. So, you know, you hear technical stuff like that.
No, it's
on the Bevo show. You understand pilot air. Your host is competent, obviously. Here's some Stooges. Not right.
She's not right. I want some, but tonight. I want some, alright. But she can't help, because she's not right. No. It's always this way. I'm not right. She wants some tonight. She wants some. Alright, oh, but I can't help, because I'm not right. No. And it's always this way.
All right, Watt from Pedro Show. That was Wild Rats with Nut. Something Ron Ashton, myself, Thurston Moore, Steve Shelley, Jimbo, Assorted Others, Mark Arm, did. The album will see the light of day sometime. We're working on it for spring. Before that was Stooges, Not Right. Coming at the end of first hour, Watt for Pedro Show, December 8, 2001. Brother Matt assisting me here. Brother Twan, man in the sofa, making sure it doesn't float away. Coming up on hour two. Okay, folks, out. December 8, 2001. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
All right, everybody, come on, let's be rocking time. We're gonna turn it up, we're gonna tear it up, we're gonna kick 'em out. There's a couple things that I know all about rock and roll. In order for the music to get real cool, you got to let it get a little out of control. Rock and roll, the neighbors don't appreciate. This goddamn music in the middle of the night is way too loud, way too loud. Till the neighbors gotta call the police.
Get out of here,
disturbing the peace.
Get out of here,
we're trying to find emotional.
Dave Dixon speaking to you from the northern suburbs of Detroit, and with me is a musician who is a star in Detroit, well known all over the United States, a cult figure internationally. He's Robin Tyner, the former lead singer with the band that was never called the Motor City Five, where they was always MC5 from the beginning. Rob,
always MC5. People would say that it would stand for certain things, different meanings, but basically it was
British,
Motor City.
British thought it was the Magna Carta Five.
There were many different permutations of this, Dave, but basically we were a Motor City group and played Motor City rock, heavily influenced by Motown, which was very prominent here in Detroit in my early musical days. And we tried to give a real groove to the music that was coming out of the rock and roll scene. We played at record hops and paid our dues in the early days, working with a lot of the stars of early Detroit radio.
I remember those guys too. Robin Seymour.
And Swingin' Sweeney and people of that type. And we think that, I think that growing up in a time that I did was very instrumental in the direction that my music is going to go in the future. Because back in those days, I was fortunate enough to be able to open up shows for outside talent.
I saw you open for Hendrix the first time he played in Detroit. I saw that.
Yeah.
Great show.
We were very fortunate in that we got a chance to be influenced in a personal way by such people as Janis Joplin and the Traffic and Procol Harum and all of the English groups that came through this great psychedelic ballroom of the late 60s in Detroit called the Grandy.
And you took the experience that you got playing with these people and opening for shows to become eventually a headliner yourself and stars here in Detroit when your peers were guys like Alice Cooper and Ted Nugent and Bob Seger, and all of you people started off playing the local clubs and went on to become record sellers all over the world. And great spokesmen for Detroit.
Well, I believe in the sound of Motor City Hard Rock. I believe that
people like things harder edged here, don't they?
People demand a certain commitment and a certain energy to the music that comes from Detroit much more than any other place in this country.
I believe it, and I know from my experience as a radio disc jockey in Detroit for years that there's no such thing as playing something too loud or too raw for this audience. I've seen people in other cities say, oh, I like the new so-and-so, but I mean, it's just too loud and too powerful. I don't want to play it on the radio. Well, in Detroit, of course, we just put that on and let it track because they like high-energy stuff here. Maybe it's because people work in factories where the machine background noise is terribly loud. I don't know.
Well, the audiences in Detroit have always been tremendously responsive to energy on stage. And coming up the way I did through the Detroit scene prepared me to go out on stage as if every night is the last night you'll ever do this. Every night is the very end of the line in terms of giving out 100% of your energy to the audience, and they in turn reflect this energy back to you on stage as a performer. It's a mighty thing to be in front of a Detroit audience.
Well put. Well, I know that there was no higher energy band ever in the history of rock and roll than the Five, and I've heard this new album that you've made, and there's certainly no, you're not stepping back from that energy level. It's powerful. It's hard-hitting. It's top-of-the-lungs rock and roll. It's the kind of album you would expect as the first solo effort from Rob Tyner of the MC5. It's killer.
I tried to put as much human energy into it as possible, but I believe that I'm a lot more at home with the recording technology of nowadays than it was early in my career. Nowadays, I feel that hard rock doesn't necessarily have to be done just for records, you know, like vinyl records. It can be done on CD, and it can be done with the same sort of intensity that using the new technology that we got out of the old, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it to me. You wrote most of the material back in the Five days. Didn't you write all the songs?
I did primarily all the lyrics. And instrumental in the ideas musically as well.
You were the key songwriting member of the MC5.
For a long while, yeah, until the other people began to write themselves toward the end.
So it should be no surprise that all of the songs on your new album are Rob Tyner compositions.
Well, I have been lucky to find a combination of musicians to back me and to work with me on this record, and I'm very thrilled with the way we work together. On guitar, I have my friend Joey Gatus, and on bass, my co-producer and engineer Pete Bankert, and on drums, the experienced and powerful drums of Fred Schmidt.
All right, and you recorded at the Schoolhouse in Ann Arbor.
Yes, at Old Schoolhouse Studios in Ann Arbor, and they have a very good facility out there for hard rock and roll.
And it was literally a schoolhouse. Yes. And built for that, because of that reason, with special acoustic properties so that a teacher could be heard.
Yes.
So that the room is very lively, I'm told.
Yes, there's an incredible snap in the air when you record it.
So there's already energy in the walls, and then you guys come in and do your high-energy rock and roll number.
Well, we get the walls shaking pretty good out there, and I'm looking forward to beginning the work on my next record. This has been a very good musical experience for me because of the fact that these people care enough about the music to work really hard on it. We've worked a long time on this record.
So you're ready to go again.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to look to the future. I believe that Detroit hard rock has a future, and it, I believe, will become stronger and leaner and tougher and meaner, and the songs will be longer and have more in them, and there will be able to stand up on their hind legs and kick some butt.
It's Rob Tyner, the former lead singer with the MC5. You said earlier that you were influenced by the Motown sound and the musicians that have come out of this town. Detroit's always been a cradle of music. I read a thing recently that said that W.C. Handy got the idea to write a blues from a visit to Detroit and hearing what the musicians were playing here just before the turn of the century. And we know that in the jazz era, Detroit was an important town, and the blues, Detroit is an important cradle of the blues. And when rock and roll came along, Detroit people picked up on it and made some serious contributions, and that the Motown sound and the Motown artists have made the name Detroit famous all over the world, as if the Cars hadn't done it already. Who were some of your influences?
Earliest influence that I can remember, it was a Detroit player, John Lee Hooker.
Yeah.
And I heard this back when I was a kid.
Nothing but the best and later for the rest.
Yeah, that was the first person that reached me with the music. And from then on, the wide vistas of R&B opened up to my ears, and I began to assimilate a whole raft of incredible music, from John Coltrane to Sun Ra to the Bobby Blue Bland to Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
So your tastes are pretty eclectic.
You had to be then, because there was so much competition in the scene. You had to have as much influences and be able to do many different styles and forms, a much different aspect of music than it is now.
A lot of people have wondered where you've been since the MC5. The group was such a hit. Their records are still being bootlegged and sold in Europe, I'm told. And yet you've been quiet as far as records go for a long time. I know, because I know you personally, that you've been involved in community shows and concerts here in town, that you've been working with veterans groups, that you've been producing other bands and helping them record, and that you've been quite busy, but you haven't been busy on the Rob Tyner career. Now you're back on it.
I feel that it was time, because I want to be able to try to move people through my music, and I want it to draw from the traditional aspect and from my experience. I want to draw from all these forms of music that I have been interested in all my life, and I want to make it say something to move the people in a positive way, emotionally speaking, and not in a political sense.
Well, Rob, one question I've got to ask you is about the artwork on your album. This looks to me like it's you're not only the musical artist, you're the physical artist here. You've drawn the back cover, haven't you?
There's a computer drawing that I did on the cover, and it's called Achilles 2. And it was just a sketch that I did on the Apple. It was the first time I'd ever touched the mouse, you know. And I like the aspect of computer art, because it's sort of like the other side of the computer's brain. You know, like we have a left side and a right side. I like the graphic side of it, because I feel more comfortable in that flowing thing and away from the numbers, you know. But I feel that there's a tremendous opportunity for creative expression using this type of artwork. I I will do it a whole bunch more in the future. I feel comfortable with it. The more advanced the technology gets, the more comfortable I become with it, Dave. It's a neat thing, because back in the early times, the technology would not be comfortable to work with. But on this new album, I try to make a sound that is consistent yet has variations within it from track to track. We wanted to have some party songs on it because it's Motor City Rock and Roll, and we wanted to have some serious stuff on it too. There's everything but a ballad, and we try to do as much as we could within the hard rock format. But I think that this format is a comfortable one, and I'm going to grow inside of it, and I'm going to grow with it.
Tell us about the Grandy days. You remember them. People are writing books now about the glorious Grandy days and the ballroom that sort of set the musical style for the whole city for a while. If it wasn't happening at the Grandy, it wasn't happening.
In those days, there was a tremendous amount of activity in the Detroit scene, musically, culturally, politically, every different way. It was a chaotic time, but a time when a lot of things got said and a lot of new areas got explored, musically and all the other ways. I think that because of the Grandy, there was a tremendous influence of the English groups that came through Detroit during the late 60s. And I was fortunate enough to be involved in shows with these people. And I think that and the Motown aspect of Detroit music made a harder and more eclectic rock in those days. And I think that lays the foundation for what's going to be happening in the future. We wanted to make some songs that recalled the past. Like, there's a song dealing with the time of the Grandy Ballroom on the record, and called Grandy Days, and I tried to catch the feel of that era through the music, and because we used the electronic sitar from the early days, and also
the psychedelic days.
Yes, the psychedelic actual electronic sitar, and we also used the electronic auto harp with full effects to get a psychedelic sort of hurdy-gurdy kind of feeling for the middle of Grandy Days. We wanted to have the sort of ambiance that you could feel what it was like there. If you'd never been there, you could feel by listening to it kind of a taste of the Grandy's atmosphere, which could be very, very, very overwhelming. And there was an echo inside the place that gave the music a certain, like, revolving quality to it, and we wanted to capture that. The album is called Blood Brother, and it's about commitments. And I want to have this feel of it's one blood brother talking to another, and blood sister, too, on this record, and I hope that feeling comes across.
All right, Blood.
On one of the tunes called Disturbing the Peace, which is my favorite crime, I wanted to get that really rowdy feeling, like a Detroit party feel, and with the band behind me, I think we came close to it, and I like the rough and tumble aspect of this new music, because it's within the modern technology of recording, but I'm trying to keep that rough edge from the early sound and bring that into the era of CDs and the digital audio tape.
Well, I hope the world is ready for this.
Man, I hope so, too.
The debut solo album of Robin Tyner, a major rock force here in Detroit. We hope the world is ready for him.
All right. Back from the Pedro Show. Sorry about that. We got a little interview there with Rob Tyner, maybe 10, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, for his solo record at the time, Blood Brothers. We heard a song before that, Disturbing the Peace. And a little spiel from Rob on, you know, what the Detroit scene was like. Cornball disc jockey there, you know. Think K-Rock. Okay, the Watt from Pedro show, we got the Brother Matt Spin Cycle. Here you go, bro.
This is a place where the lady lives with the jungle fever.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Brother Matt. Excellent installment of the spin cycle. JJ Talia has made it. She's spieling to Brother Twan about her. Chuck too. Sorry, brother. About her adventures with the club scene and such. She paid a lot of money and didn't get a good time. Like magazine love.
Let's go! The button, fucking so scared. Oh my god, did I go too far? Let's go! Mita loca, the baby. Getting frantic on a panic train. Need a mechanic on a panic train. Let's go!
my bank's head.
Pedro Show, December 8, 2001, coming up at the end of the second hour. We'll start in the third hour with Lil Saccharin, where I did this thing with him, live improv thing, and then DJ Talia. We'll have a session. Right there was Black Randy and the Metro Squad with Trouble at the Cup. From the old days of the L.A. scene. Thank you, Brother Matt. We get the feedback going, and we want to have somebody monitoring the sound there. And no comments from the whatever. Fort Black Randy was Weirdos. They're going to play tomorrow night. And, well, some of them, and I think the Circle Jerks are going to back them up. And right after Brother Matt's spin cycle, we had the Screamers, which was the first Hollywood band that could sell out the Whiskey. Tomato died last year, but Paul and KK is going to do something tomorrow night, the El Rey. Me and George are going to play at 7. But this show probably won't be ready till next week, so it'll be in past tense. At the start of the hour, we did, of course, some Rob Tyner, late great singer of the MC5, and then an interview with him with some cornball jock. But his words were great. Okay, Brother Matt making me aware there's 15 seconds left of this second hour Watt from Pedro Show. And nice sunny December day here. Great for pedaling. This is my favorite time of year. Okay, ready for hour three coming up next. Watt from Pedro Show, December 8, 2001. It's the third hour. I don't know why I spoke about what I'm going to play now at the end of the last one, but more pilot error. Okay, anyway, here's from World Broken Records, Saccharin Trust. Their bass player got too scared to do this gig, so at the last minute they asked me to do it. And it's improvising. We're just making up the songs. We went along. For some reason, they had me. Well, we all wore tuxedos. The only time I've worn one of those things. Here's the tune Fred Presented Himself to Joseph.
Fred presented himself to Joseph.
impulsively unlatch this perplex and faulty lock, bringing in the final calm infliction. The wine was a vintage, its color bloodshot red, tearful. Its spirit rippled with the rantings of drowning soul searchers. Its alluring shape settled on a mantle, where it bred and shed its fragrance committing itself to the atmosphere. As we converse, words part out meaningless formation, philosophical stabs, meanwhile Joseph tried the screen door to let a fly out. Returning to us to read his poem. And it went like this. In a forest I feel as in a crowded room. The trees sigh and leaves rustle, imminent conversation of the time of day that placed my mind in a bar of people like stones in a dry creek. Dry, dusty, no sound, no light, eyes untrue, only my sigh in a room.
Some raisins and cheese. I'll eat the plants on vegetables, and I'll grow on seeds. But I won't eat animals, and they won't eat me. Oh no, I'll live on life. I want nothing dead in me, you know. I'll become life, and my life will become me, you know. I'll live on life, and my life will live on me.
They call that celebration in Egypt the Arca Noah, not the Ark. Ark of Noah, but Ark of Noah.
Thank you. Thank you. and continue on with more beat breakings.
Trouble, rumble. Two for the bass,
bass in your face.
I said one for the trouble,
rumble.
Two for the bass,
bass in your face.
I said one for the trouble, two for the bass. I said one for the trouble,
rumble.
Two for the bass. Come on and see, let's
rock this place.
Now I am the man, yes I'm only the man, and when it's time to expand, I'll chop my way through the center and I'll stand feet first into beat first. Baby Bubba, let me show you what it all boils down to. I'll tap that ace note, clown you, now you know the half. Pulling their wigs completely off their scabs. Riding them tight is the easy part, to have a little style is the hard part. I'm moving like a hard bark, sweeping up all you marks from the jump start. I'm dirty after dark, so spark up an L. Now what the hell, you've been here before, you know how it goes.
It goes one for the trouble,
rumble.
Two for the bass,
bass.
Bass in your face.
I said one for the trouble,
rumble.
Two for the bass,
bass in your face.
I said one for the trouble, two for the bass. I said one for the trouble, two for the bass. Come on and see.
All right, DJ Talia's show here on Watt from Pedro show. It's a DJ Talia segment, but no one heard. It's a show. I had some television.
I can't get no satisfaction.
Live from Pedro show. That was some live porno for Pyros when I helped them out with some bass. Where was that gig?
That was at Halloween. At the Mayan, if you want to know.
Were you? No, this one here was, it was in June of 96. And it says ALH. Whatever that means, I can't. Some cat gave me this CD and was playing live, so.
Better than live,
yeah. Somewhat with porno. Perk was telling me him and Per are going to record some Jane's Addiction thing in February. For porno, we had Custard, Australian band. Nice guys I met when I was with porno over there. Love Measure. We picked up after DJ Talia's set with Satisfaction by Television, a live thing from 78. That was neat, Talia.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Started off weak, but got good. We don't need another folk song about not eating meat. We need some beats from Talia. Okay, speaking of beats, here's Tar Babies with Rockhead.
Hey, baby.
Thank you.
cold in my world. Suburban dreams shattered on the ground. Still deranged, basic melodies. And swirled enough to lose the ups and downs of living in this town. Dead and alive, lost and found.
Two, one, two, three.
John Kale on Juan Pedro Show, something live, Praetorian Guard. Tune off the good record I like his, Caribbean Sunset. Coming up at the end of another Juan from Pedro Show, I want to thank Brother Matt, DJ Talia for assisting me. A little chaotic a little earlier. Chuck Sands from down the street, and Twan. Twan was pretty focused, but Chuck Sands is all over the place. Oh, wow. A little too happy. And Watt's psyche so fragile. Before John Cale, we had Tom Watson's Overpass with the song about his town, Manhattan Beach. And we started that little set of tunes off with Rockhead by the Tar Babies, Bucky Pope. And I guess the last version with that funk guy on the bass. An old friend of mine, Robin, was a first bass player. I tell you, I'm on air. And Robin Davies, a good guy. I met him first. He was a roadie for Husker Du back in the early 80s, and he still comes to all my gigs when I come and play in Madison, which is a neat town to play. It's trippy. It's put on isthmus. That means like a stretch of land between two lakes. I think it's Lake Monona and Lake Mendota. And it can get cold there in the winter, but it's a neat town. Interesting place. Tom Layton puts on my gigs there.
5 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to play something from a Seattle band now. I met these guys touring with Jay. Sam Jane, good guy. Love his laughter. Watch the Pedro show. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Damn it. Okay, here's Love is Laughter. Watt from Pedro Show. Okay, another one in the can there. Lot from Pedro Show, December 8, 2001. We'd be back next week, brother man?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And I got some gigs next week. Wednesday's benefit for Sea Shepherds, Spaceland with John and Terry Show. Last gig with them for the year. And then a benefit for the Toberman House Sunday, a week from today, on the 16th, with Dose. Bring a toy, help the kids, Toberman Settlement House, have a Christmas. Not that objects really make a Christmas, but give the kids. Just give. There's so much to take, huh? Anyway, is there another gig? Well, there might be. Check the Hoot page. Again, like to thank the SiteWorks people for hosting my show. Thank you, Eric, Brother Matt, DJ Talia. Much respect. Everybody, keep it together. I'm trying. Less than 2 weeks, I'm 44. Okay. Keep your powder dry.